the right wing going after Al Gore, because the comments and the message boards on the internet, the thing had been fairly announced, and the right wingers were all over the internet spewing talking points.
Yeah. You see, it's been wall to wall Nobel Peace Prize today. And,
yeah.
and I've already seen, let's see, what is it? So what? They gave the Nobel Peace Prize to Yasser Arafat, too. Congratulations, Mr. Gore. What a meaningless award.
Oh, that's one of the milder ones. Some of them are just vitriolic. And that is an adequate
barometer for gauging precisely how badly this stings the right wing.
Oh, I would have given a whole lot to have been able to hear Bush's reaction. Or better yet, Cheney's. I would have loved to have heard it. Because
I know what their reaction was. Give him three of them. Give him a dozen. He ain't here and we are.
Yeah, but you know as well as I do that Bush probably threw a tantrum, because the Nobel is something that he is never, ever, ever going to be able to get, and that probably just galls him beyond belief.
Well, yeah, and let's see, what are some of the other Bingo Billy Bennett, you know, the guy that sits naked in a private room in Vegas with a slot machine and a bag of Cheetos?
Yeah.
He was on the radio today screaming, "Why didn't they give it to Ronald Reagan?"
Well,
it's hard to give a peace prize to a guy who is single-handedly responsible for the deaths of, what, over 100,000 Central Americans?
Yeah. Iran Contra invading Grenada. Geez, what did they want?
I know. Look, the Kool-Aid does things to your brain. Let's try this again, see who we got. Welcome to the front porch. Hello?
Hey.
Ah, okay. Guess that was a wrong number.
What?
Guess that was a wrong number.
Oh.
Sounded like a kid. But no, look, I felt like we should try to take a different tack. I try to look at things in a different fashion when it comes to big stories like this Nobel Peace Prize. I'm proud as punch for Vice President Gore.
Gore. Oh, my. I'm just tickled to death for him.
And I would...
in the chat room is saying that the wingers are saying that Neil Cavuto thinks that General Petraeus should have gotten the Nobel.
Oh, dear God. I don't have enough liquor in the house to deal with an assertion like that. That's Fox.
Somebody get me something to mainline quick.
Yeah, I know. I'm still waiting to see if anybody in the Johnny on the spot Washington press corps has the nerve to ask, so when will you be having a reception at the White House for our latest Nobel Peace Prize winner?
Oh, I love that question. That is a lovely question.
The president hears his mother calling. The dog ate our calendar. He's going to be out of the office. Go away. The great and terrible Oz cannot see him.
It's time to go on vacation.
For the rest of the term.
Yeah. Anything to avoid having a reception.
I know. Okay, so they called back. Let's see if the... Welcome to the... quitters.
Before I go, there's one thing I did want to mention regarding Ann Coulter's absolutely appalling comments about Jews.
Yeah, getting perfected and all.
Yeah. I find it really interesting that AIPAC doesn't really have anything to say about that. I called them and asked.
No. They've got no position.
Why not?
Why not? Come on, that's rhetorical, right?
Well, yeah. something that reeks like that, you would normally, you know, let's face it, if a Democrat said that, AIPAC could be all over them.
Well, I'm still waiting for the Anti-Defamation League or somebody. Not a peep.
Yeah, that's what gets me. It's just weird. Strange people.
Strange quiet at strange times.
Well, they're too busy lambasting Gore, you know. Oh, and they're also
They're busy lambasting Gore, but they're also still busy sliming a 12-year-old with brain damage. So, you know, I mean,
they got a
really full plate over in sleazy Repiglo land.
Yeah, and they're also going after the Nobel Prize itself, the Peace Prize.
Oh, I heard that. I had to run out of the house just for a few minutes earlier today, Susan, The Filthy Junkie, of course, runs in the Charleston, and that's the station I can get. And I never understood. The Nobel Peace Prize was established. It's named after the man who invented dynamite. I find that ironic. Don't you find that ironic? I never understood why they do something. What an idiot. Alfred Nobel set up, if I understand the history correctly, set up the Nobel Prizes as a form of expiation for what he had done with the invention of, what, dynamite, TNT?
Dynamite. Yeah, because he felt
hoping that he could foster peace in the world and keep what he had thought was the weapon to end all weapons from being used to destroy more of humanity.
Uh-huh. And that's why he set up the Nobel Prize. And, you know, it was basically his way of saying, I'm sorry to the world. And let's face it, it would have happened anyway. When something is ready to be invented, it will be invented. He just happened to do it first.
Well, we're going to hear a lot of this sleazing going on through the weekend, so just, you know, sort of get ready for it.
Yeah, I'm getting my antiseptic wipes ready.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know, something to sort of swab out, something with a germ killing factor that'll you can swab out your ears because.
And
an ophthalmic solution for your eyes.
Yeah, you have to wonder what the rest of the world thinks of the United States, seeing the reaction to this.
Well, the rest of the world isn't sitting around with their head in the sand. Countries are trying to get free of carbon fossil fuels.
Uh-huh. Well, no, what I'm talking about is they have to wonder this reaction. They have to wonder at the right wing's reaction to Gore and the Nobel itself, the way they're going after it, when they are trying so hard to clean the mess up.
Maybe they're just waiting for the collapse.
It's one more black eye, and they probably are just waiting for the collapse, and it's going to happen. God, what a depressing thought.
Yeah, it is. It is.
On that cheerful note.
Take care, Susan. Have a good weekend.
You too. Give my love to Agnes.
Sure will. Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Our good friend Susan. Our news ninja, Susan, in Columbia City, Oregon. So, you know, am I off base? I think, are you still harboring some deep and distant hope that Al Gore will enter the race? When it comes to hoping, I still am. What you're hearing is my reality. My dedication to a pragmatic acknowledgement of simple fact. Because after all, you can hope in one hand and in the other and see which one fills up first. But sure, I maintain some hope that Vice President Gore will get in the race. I don't see it happening, though. I just don't see it happening. But, of course, there is far, far more information, more news, more horror, maybe even a giggle or two somewhere along the way, than simply the story of President Gore having won the Nobel Peace Prize in conjunction with the United Nations Committee. See, that's the other thing that gets under the right-winger's skin. The United Nations was involved. Because, I mean, I remember being a boy growing up in Alabama and seeing people driving around with those stickers, "Get us out of the UN!" And from the moment that I learned a little bit forward, I was always a little fascinated with those people because, yeah, that's the same people who thought the League of Nations was a really terrible notion. Had the United States participated in the League of Nations, it is quite possible that the entire Second World War might have been averted. "Get us out of the UN! You can have my guns when you can pry them from my cold, dead fingers." Those people don't deserve Al Gore. The spin that I heard being put on it today, Al Gore wants the poor to stay poor and the rich to be constrained from getting any richer. Huh? What? Of course, this is in the same breath that the junkie was saying that the Democratic Party had turned 12-year-old Graham Frost into a little liar, just like they did those soldiers from Vote Vets. And yet, as I heard Guy James do, right here on the horn, you can read the transcript of what Graham Frost said on the Democratic radio address, and you can analyze, as you're looking at it, the factuality of it. There is not a single lie. There is not a single untruth. There is not a single stretching of the truth in that entire brief address. But Flimball sits behind the microphone, munching OxyContins to get the refreshing burst of flavor, I suspect, and simply tells his ditto monkey audience, "Little 12-year-old boy is a liar." Man, I tell you, you got to be some kind of masculine, bastion of testosterone-infused he-man-ness to have a run at a little 12-year-old boy. How sick do you have to be? And as was mentioned on this program the other night, we now know where the whole sleazing of Graham Frost and his entire family probably began. It was a bubbling vat of slime that rolled over the cauldron and out underneath the door with the marker on it, the door with the sign on it, the door with the brass plaque on it that says, "Minority Leader, United States Senate." A staffer, you see, in Majority Leader Senator Harry Reid's office got an email. I love these repigs. They just hit, you know, reply to all and send. Got an email that he wasn't supposed to get. It was from a Senate Republican leadership aide, and it showed that Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's office was very, very actively and intently tracking the smear campaign way before it got any legs. That email summed up recent blog traffic about the boy's family. Asked to comment, the spokesman for Mitch McConnell's office declined comment. There's more, though. Following up on it, the New York Times reported that McConnell's office was actually preparing to issue a press release to attack little Graham Frost, but pulled back once you and me and the rest of us liberals and progressives, us decent human beings, pulled the curtain back on the filth campaign against little Graham Frost. The New York Times said Republicans on Capitol Hill, who were gearing up to use Graham as evidence that Democrats have overexpanded the health care program to include families wealthy enough to afford private insurance, have backed off, glad to let bloggers take the heat for attacking a family with injured children. An aide to Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, the Republican leader, expressed relief that his office had not issued a press release criticizing the Frosts. And somewhere along the way, I'm not sure precisely where it is, I'll have to look real quick, I had an email from one of our bloggers, I think it was Texas Betsy, talking about the fact that CNN had gotten caught essentially not doing journalism, but rather just stenography from the RNC. Yeah, it was Texas Betsy. Thanks, Betsy. From Talk Left, CNN takes dictation from GOP. So now we know why CNN got the Frost family story wrong. They were taking dictation from the GOP. On Monday morning, Don Stewart sent an email with the following text to reporters. Seen the latest blog swarm? Apparently there's more to the story on the kid, Graham Frost, that did the Dems radio response on S-Chip. Could the Dems really have done that bad a job of vetting this family? A little bit later, on CNN come the words, and I quote, CNN political analyst then placed the blame squarely on the Democrats' shoulders, and this is the quote, I think in this instance, what happened was the Democrats didn't do as much of a vetting as they could have done on this young man. Huh. What was to vet? He was in a car wreck. He had brain damage. He required massive medical attention and got that massive medical attention because his family had CHIP. Period. What's to vet? Meanwhile, the Republican congressional offices are backing away as quickly as they possibly can. We had nothing to do with the investigative reporting work of the conservative bloggers, but at the same time, we did nothing to distance ourselves. No, I'm sorry. No. But at the same time, they did nothing to distance themselves from the byproduct of that work. Quote, we're clearly going to promote the truth and show Democrats didn't do their research about whether the Frost family should be receiving subsidized health care, said one Senate GOP aide. We're going to ride this story. In other words, they're not going to let up on little Graham Frost and his brain-damaged sister. Michelle Malkin's not going to stop knocking on the door to see if the family is sufficiently poor to meet her definition of someone who should be receiving health care for children. I don't understand how anyone with a shred of dignity, decency, or morality could have anything to do with a Republican or call themselves a Republican. Filthy, vile animals that the Republican Party have become. CHIP was never designed to be a poor children's health insurance program in the first place. It is specifically designed for working families who make too much for Medicaid, but too little to be able to afford health care at work. If, in fact, that health care is even offered. There's another aspect to it. I saw one right-wing claim, well, why didn't they have car insurance? That should have took care of it. I hate these prevaricating horses' rear ends. Auto insurance has limits. And the limits for the care of Graham Greene and his sister Gemma were likely exceeded in the first 24 hours of care. Beyond that, most auto insurance, when you go to fill out the papers at the hospital says, listen, we're not going to accept this. Because they know how sleazy auto insurance companies do everything in their power to get out from under having to pay what they are contractually bound to pay. That is why, among other things, that is why a for-profit insurance system can never, ever, ever provide adequate health care coverage to the American people, because it is modeled on a system that busts its rear end 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, making sure that it doesn't give coverage where coverage is due and owing. Simple enough? One would apparently, to hear most of the candidates, with the exception of Dennis Kucinich, be wrong. Somewhere with all the candidates, with the exception of Dennis Kucinich, there's this notion that somebody out there in America, lots of somebodies out there in America, lots of six and figure somebodies out there in America, have a God-given constitutional right to profit off of your illness and the misery of your loved ones. And for the life of me, I cannot figure out the brain that sees misery as an opportunity to make a fast buck. You know, I just can't. It is Front Porch Friday. Jump in, get involved if you want to. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to The Horn, independent media that you make go. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
Network. Lawmakers in Germany have overwhelmingly approved extending the deployment of 3,000 troops in Afghanistan for another year. Going against the majority of public opinion, the government pushed for the renewal, saying a pullout could endanger the progress made since the ouster of the Taliban in 2001. Former Vice President Al Gore has won the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize along with the UN's Panel on Climate Change. Gore and the panel are being recognized for their efforts to spread awareness of global warming and the need to work to reverse it. He said that he would donate his share of the prize money to further the cause. The White House praised Al Gore for winning the prize. A White House spokesman said President Bush is, quote, very happy for the vice president, end quote. Russian President Vladimir Putin threatens to abandon a key nuclear missile treaty if the U.S. does not back off a plan to install missile defenses in Eastern Europe. In Moscow today, high-level talks about the U.S. missile defense plans for Eastern Europe did not reach a resolution other than an agreement to meet again. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Secretary Robert Gates took part, along with Russian President Vladimir Putin, who warned the U.S. to back off. The Prime Minister of Myanmar has died after a long illness. General So Win was 59 years old. He had leukemia. According to family members, he was the fourth-ranking member of the country's military junta. Kurdish separatist rebels say that they'll cross over into Turkey to target politicians and police. The statement comes in response to Turkey's statement that it was preparing to attack the PKK rebels in northern Iraq. Hopes for peace are fading in Darfur as a main party in the south has withdrawn from talks. The party claims Sudanese government leaders will not share power. Violence in the region has escalated. Pakistan's Supreme Court will rule on whether a government amnesty lifting corruption charges against former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto is legal. The amnesty is one condition of Bhutto's return to Pakistan next week ahead of a possible power-sharing deal with President Musharraf. A black Louisiana teenager at the center of the racially charged Gina 6 case was ordered back to jail after a judge ruled that he violated his probation for earlier juvenile convictions. 17-year-old Michael Bell was freed just 2 weeks ago. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Did you know 1 billion adults around the world cannot read? Two-thirds are women, many prohibited from learning. The rate of illiteracy is declining, but the number who can't read has been increasing. These are more than just numbers, they're people. They're your friends, neighbors, and even your family. Consider these numbers. In America, if you didn't speak English in your home, you're 44% more likely to be reading below the most basic level. If you didn't complete high school, the chances are good that you can't read. 85% of prisoners are illiterate, as are the kids who wind up in juvenile court. Here are the facts. If you can read, you can learn, get a better job, and make more money. If you can't read, you can't learn, you can't find a good job, you can't make a decent living. Choose smart. Learn to read. If you're out of school, find a literacy program through your local library.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
A Soyuz space capsule is docked with the International Space Station. On board is the new commander of the ISS, 47-year-old NASA astronaut Peggy Whitson. It's her second time up. A Russian flight engineer and a space tourist from Malaysia, who's the first from his nation, are up there as well. The Netherlands, known for its permissive drug policy, will ban the sale of hallucinogenic mushrooms after the recent death of a teenager who jumped to her death after taking the drug. Lipstick is the latest product to be recalled over concerns it might contain lead. The U.S. Consumer Rights Group found that more than half of 33 brands tested contained lead. CoverGirl, L'Oreal, and Christian Dior had more lead than others. Federal budget deficit fell to $162.8 billion over the last budget year. That's the lowest amount of red ink in 5 years. Samsung Electronics has reported its first net profit gain in 4 quarters. The company credits strong sales of mobile phones and flat-screen TVs. Oracle's made an unsolicited offer of $6.7 billion for software rival BAE. Rival bids are expected. Today, another record day on Wall Street. The Dow gained 78 points. NASDAQ advanced 33.5. And the S&P 500 rose 7.25. Oil settled at $83.69 after reaching $84 a barrel today due to tensions in the Middle East and a drop in U.S. supplies. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Front Porch Friday here. get a good sweater, pull it up around you. And that stuff in that ceramic jug over there with the corn cob sticking out of it, that'll warm you up. I'm Bob, of course. You know the phone number. 304-658-5453. Or on our nickel, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4. Head on if you're into spelling on your telephone keypad. Anyway, it'll get you right in here. Of course, you're welcome to join us in the headonradionetwork.com chat room. That's big fun. Email rolls into bob@headonradio.com. You're welcome to join us there as well. Just about everything short of semaphore and smoke signals will, in fact, get you into the program. Let's see who we've got here. Welcome to the program. Hey.
It's Kevin from D.C.
Hey, Kevin. What's going on, my friend?
It's a great day, isn't it?
Oh, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah, Al Gore.
Yeah?
Yeah. He got the...
Kevin, I fear you were getting out of range or some such. You know, Doris Lessing's Nobel Prize for Literature was well-deserved as well. What a brilliant writer she was, is. And fascinating, you know, the fascinating stuff being done with data storage. What was that, the Nobel Prize for Physics? And what is this? And I don't fully understand it. What is this story about printers and tissue growth? An American scientist and a British scientist who discovered a way to create tissue like organs with inkjet printers? I guess what they discovered is that living cells in some sort of sustaining medium have a 95% survival rate when jetted onto a proper surface. And we're talking about we're not talking about some highfalutin printer. We're talking about an inkjet like what's probably sitting in your house. And they're able to create all kinds of tissue with it. I don't know. That sounds like it's got some Nobel potential written on it, too, somewhere down the road. Can you imagine the applications? I mean, that's turning the world kind of upside down sort of science. Growing tissue using an inkjet printer. Mind-boggling. Of course, you know, thanks to the Bush administration, it's less and less likely that we will have people making those kinds of discoveries in the United States because of the full-on assault on non-faith-based science. Let's see if we've got Kevin back here. Oh. Where to go next? Where to go next? Oh. Okay. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Kevin.
Hey. Did you wander out of your cell?
Dying on me left and right.
Oh, isn't that annoying? I think Kevin has cell problems. No, I got a big stack of stuff this evening. Of course, I haven't talked about the kid in Cleveland who... got his hands on a firearm and opened fire on his fellow students. It was at an alternative school in Cleveland. I was asked by a right-wing listener how I would blame the gun for that one. I've never blamed a gun yet. Not at all. Somebody has to shoot the gun. It's how we get the guns into people's hands that makes the difference. for instance, the case that broke today, it was a story that happened at the same time as the Cleveland shooter story went down. The mommy, nice mommy, mommy who has been charged with buying guns for her 14-year-old son, had a bunch of knives and explosives, a bunch of pellet guns. He had a .22 rifle and a 9mm firearm of some sort that wasn't a pistol. He had a .22 pistol. The 9mm was, of course, a semi-automatic. He was planning an attack on a local school in Norristown, Pennsylvania. Of course, the interesting piece of information out of that whole scenario is the fact that this kid was homeschooled. He didn't even go to the school that he was planning to shoot up. A student at the high school and his father turned this kid in. Mommy got him the gun. Want to know where mommy got him the gun? Want to know? Did she just go down to the gun store and say, hey, I want to buy me a gun to give to my 14-year-old kid? Nah, you can't do that in America. Now, bear in mind, the NRA hates that you can't do that in America. We should be giving away certificates for free guns in gumball machines. But no, she went to a gun show and bought the rifle, which had a laser scope on it, on September the 23rd. Gun show. You know, that's where all the rules go out the windows. That's where there are no background checks. You could show up in the clown suit with the big red nose and the floppy shoes, and they would gladly sell you whatever you want at the gun show. Criminals who shouldn't have handguns frequently have handguns that have been purchased at gun shows. Gun shows. Huh. Gun. You know, they're gun garage sales. They're gun yard sales. You own a gun? Mm-hmm. How much money you got? Got me $100. I got a $100 gun. Want to buy it? Mm-hmm. Here you go. The mommy was charged with unlawful transfer of a firearm, possession of a firearm by a minor, corruption of a minor, endangering the welfare of a child, and two counts of reckless endangerment. She apparently was not charged with being in on helping the kid plot the attack. I guess you take your victories where you can find them, don't you, mommy? The one that's really, really going to sting the NRA, the National Republican Rifle, I mean, it's the NRRA, the National Republican Rifle Association, is the corruption of a minor. What do you mean? You saying that giving a 14-year-old boy a gun is a corrupting him? We got 14-year-olds all over the country got lots of guns. They ain't corrupt. I'm guessing the corruption of a minor won't stick because, you know, somebody from the NRA will, you know, blow away the judge. If it does. Ooh, that's going to light him up, isn't it? 14-year-old boy needs a gun. 14-year-old needs a hobby. Keep him out of trouble. This kid was homeschooled. You know, homeschooling, you know, where you sit there and mommy tells you that 2 + 2... And then a miracle happens, and it's 4, because Jesus wants it to be 4. You know, homeschooling. Wow. Okay, let's see what's going on the phones. Ah, Kevin, I'm sorry, buddy. I guess the upside is that the authorities say that the attack was not imminent. He did say that the teenager had a disturbed mind. Smart kid clearly believes he was picked on, and was a victim. How was he getting picked on? He was homeschooled. Or is Pennsylvania one of those places where you can homeschool your kid, but you send them to the school to participate in extracurricular activities? Too good to sit in the classroom, but not good enough to be in the band. But not too good to be in the band. Not too good to be on the basketball or baseball or football team. I don't know. Seven explosive devices that the investigator described as homemade grenades. Plastic containers filled with pellets to which gunpowder could be added. One grenade was operable. The others had been in the process of being assembled. Apparently, the young fella got a charge out of playing a... it wasn't a game. I'm sorry. It was a DVD titled Game Over in Littleton about the attacks on Columbine. And yes, just like the kid in Great Britain, he had a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook. 1971. He also had an Army Counterinsurgency Operations Manual and a copy of Hitler's second book, the unpublished sequel to Mein Kampf. That is one heck of a homeschooling curriculum. He also had swords and knives. Homeschooling. Homeschooling. Just amazing. And a rifle with a laser scope. That's in case he doesn't want to do his school shooting all up close and personal. He can take him out at a distance like a sniper. Just astonishing. Welcome to America. Welcome to Bushmerica. Welcome to the land of the fear. The land of fear and loathing and terror and... wait a minute, ain't you scared? 9/11. 9/11. Yeah, it's just... I don't know. I'm flummoxed by this. I'm stymied by this. I'm dumbstruck by this. I don't know how it happens. How does a 14-year-old convince mommy to go buy him a rifle with a scope on it? Did she? Same question that was asked about the kids in Littleton, Colorado. Did they never walk into their kid's bedroom? Swords? Homemade grenades? Game over in Littleton? How detached does a parent have to become to not catch on to something like this? Meanwhile, back in Cleveland, are you familiar with this? There's our old buddy Fox Radio host, John War on Christmas Gibson. Now, here's a guy who's constantly talking about things like a war on Christmas, writes a book about a war on Christmas, and he's got the nerve to say what he said about the shooter in Cleveland? You familiar with this? Well, you're about to be. This is just... oof. John Gibson, on his show, in regard to the shooter in Cleveland, said that he knew, without seeing any photographs, the skin color of the shooter. I'm not kidding. Really and for truly, he did. This was 2 days ago. Discussing 14-year-old Asa Kuhn, who shot four people at his alternative school before he blew himself away, said that he had, Gibson said he had the ability at a distance, you know, sort of like Bill Frist had the ability at a distance with a videotape to determine that Terry Schiavo's brain was not primarily consistent with Jell-O, to determine the race of the shooter.
Well, we have an inside look at the production of the John Gibson Show today, because there was big news out in Cleveland, Ohio, and I teed it up saying, what we have here is another example of hip-hop culture bringing murder and mayhem into the rest of our society. Now, this was a terrible incident out in a school in near Cleveland. It's called Success Tech. It's one of those alternative schools. 85% African American. 85%. First thing you see when you see the pictures today is a whole bunch of black kids. Three teachers. Did it turn out to be three teachers or two?
Three.
And three students shot. Now, all of the...
Okay, this is a catty moment. Did nobody ever tell John Gibson not to smack his lips when talking about murder on the radio? But, you know, that's just me.
Teachers and students that were shot were survive. The wounds are not... well, I guess there's one of the teachers is in surgery and so forth, but they're all expected to live. The shooter...
What's he eating, a Tootsie Pop?
Suicide. This is one of the students who was shot in the elbow and, you know, was not seriously hurt, although he was shot.
This is Darnell Rogers, age 18. He was shot today. Darnell, can you tell us what happened to you?
I was walking from my locker to my teacher's classroom. Like, as I was walking to the classroom, I heard gunshots, and then, like, one of the gunshots, like, hit me, and, like, I was lightweight and shocked, and I was like, oh, my God, I got shot or whatever. But I would also like to send my prayers out to all the other victims and their families, and I'm looking into starting a nonprofit organization to stop violence in schools and get more security in schools.
Darnell, did you know the shooter?
I might have, but I don't know for sure. I got to see him to see if I really know him. But I probably didn't know him, though.
Now, why would there be guns in schools?
Let me show you how I do this right here. This is the best part. Nah, best part, worst part, you know, whatever. Why are there guns in school? And he starts playing music. That's right. Music makes guns magically appear in high schools in Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah, it does. It's the music.
Now the Rugos, I got 10. I got a fully loaded clip. I put 16 in the clip. I put it in, I cut that. One in the head, I take a fully loaded clip. I put another one in the clip. I put it back, I got a fully loaded clip.
Well, that's my working theory, but...
It's not because you can get guns in bubblegum machines. It's not because... The gun industry is the single most protected sacred cow in American industry. No. It's not because, like the boy's mommy did in Norristown, PA, it's not because you can go to a gun show, you got some money, I got some guns. You want a gun? Give me some money. That has nothing to do with it.
You know, and of course, because the school is very heavily African-American, I did leap to a conclusion.
What was that, John?
Well, that the shooter might have been African-American. Turns out it's a white kid.
Is Gibson wrong?
Gibson's wrong. Not wrong. Gibson is not wrong. In the In years past, in the many of these shooting incidents that I've covered...
Now, first law of holes, when you're in one, stop digging, but nobody ever told John Gibson that. Can I ask you a question? I know, you know what this operation's like. You know we operate on a shoestring. You know that we rely on you to make the horn keep happening every month. You know I've told you that it takes a couple of grand a month to keep things going here, between the power bill and the internet bill and computers and all the stuff that goes with it. It takes a couple of grand a month to keep us going. You know that. You probably also know that John Gibson makes somewhere on the order of six figures, maybe seven per year. Now, you've heard his program there for a little bit. Taking out the... This is just purely a vanity issue on my part. Taking out the content. Does he sound like more of a professional broadcaster than I do? With all the sucking sounds he makes behind the microphone? Yeah, I'm guilty. Every now and then I'll go... When it just seems like things are getting so thick and heavy that we're not going to be able to make it to the next story. I'm guilty. But lip smacking? Have you ever caught me on the air here having dinner in the middle of my show? I think I got all about turnip green between the two. Oh, yeah. Oh, don't want to miss any. Oh, that's good. I've caught it from Flemball now. Now I'm hearing it from John Gibson. These guys are eating on the air. God, I mean, all the way back at the gospel voice, don't bring no food into the control room, okay, Bob? Okay, boss. Had to have your Coca-Cola sitting outside the control room. These guys think they're professionals. Sound like a cow chewing its cud. But that's okay. Just wait, because John Gibson's going to make it worse.
You've always looked to things like video games and Grand Theft Auto and desensitizing kids to shooting people and stuff like that. And all I can say is, hey, times change. We move on. All of a sudden, you know, the...
Desensitizing kids to shooting people? John, did you not get the memo? There's a war going on, buddy. We need our children to be desensitized to the idea of shooting people. Because, you see, we're having problems in recruiting. African-American sign-ups for the military are down dramatically. Here, I'm just trying to sound professional. They're down dramatically. And yet, there they are, listening to all that rap music. And they don't want to go and just kill people. Desensitize the kids to shooting people? What the hell do you think the Iraq war is, John Gibson? That's your war, buddy. You love that war. You send the little war love notes.
The gun violence in the culture is coming at the kids from a different direction.
Hey, yo, I'm higher than a pilot, man. I catch a body, man. Beat the case, I lie on a polygram. My OG's talking about back in the days. I have a RIP time on your MySpace page.
Well, you know, you can't deny it. I mean, there's...
You know, I'm so white, I can't understand any of these dark-skinned people and their music. I can't understand a word they're saying, and they've got iPods.
And listening on their iPods are not all black kids. Some white kids listen, too.
Really, John? Really? You think? Who do you think is doing most of the music buying, John? I mean, you know, let's just take this strictly from a, you know, percentage basis, demographic standpoint kind of thing. Kids with no money or kids with lots of money? Now, who has more money? young African-American kids or young white kids from the burbs. Here's a hint. It's the white kids, John.
This kid was a Marilyn Manson fan.
It's a goth type.
Yes.
Oh! Marilyn Manson did it with his little hatchet.
So it wasn't picking up the hip-hop?
I don't think so, John.
Angry Rich, you know why I knew that this through our afternoon of mystery?
By the way, remember, Angry Rich is the guy who referred to Senator Edwards' wife as a prostitute, just in case you're keeping score. Okay? Just in case.
Wondering about the kid that was the shooter. I knew this was not a classic hip-hop shooting.
How's that, John?
He killed himself. Hip-hoppers do not.
You getting this? Let's back up just a hair, okay? Just for the fun of it. Because this is the real moment of this whole piece.
So it wasn't picking up the hip-hop?
I don't think so, John.
Angry Rich, you know why I knew that this through our afternoon of mystery, wondering about the kid that was the shooter, I knew this was not a classic hip-hop shooting.
How's that, John?
He killed himself. Hip-hoppers do not kill themselves. They walk away. Now, I didn't need to hear the kid was white and with blonde hair. Once he'd shot himself in the head, no hip-hopper.
So it's not a classic hip-hop.
It's not even close. I mean, it's whatever he is. And it's clear to me this gun culture right now, primarily promoted by hip-hop music, is...
Huh? Oh, dear. I don't know. I may just have to stop the show early and start drinking. This gun culture promoted by the hip-hop industry... No, John. No. No, silly, silly man. The gun culture is promoted by the National Republican Rifle Association. Good God.
I'm shoot you in the face. I bought a brand new gun today. I'm going to shoot you in the face.
This...
Wait, John, wait. Just a little, little trivia question. Who shot somebody in the face, John Gibson? Who shot somebody in the face? Come on, it's easy. We talked about it on the show last night. Who shot somebody in the face?
No.
Why, the answer, John Gibson, is the Vice President of the United States. Who is Dick Cheney, John Gibson? I was a hip-hopper. But you got that, right? As soon as...
All black kids. Some white kids listen to afternoon of mystery. Pilot man, I catch a body man, beat the case alive. It's a goth type.
Yes.
So it wasn't picking up the hip-hop?
Here it is. Let's get it again. I just want to make sure that this bores its way. I don't mean like boring, but that it just, like, you know, with a little earworm in the Star Trek. Oh, Captain, it was terrible. He put things in our ears. I want you to hear this.
I don't think so, John.
Angry Rich, you know why I knew that this, through our afternoon of mystery, wondering about the kid that was the shooter, I knew this was not a classic hip-hop shooting.
How's that, John?
He killed himself. Hip-hoppers do not kill themselves. They walk away. Now,
you got it right there. Hip-hoppers do not kill themselves. They walk away. They walk away scot-free. They never get caught. There is not a single hip-hop shooter in prison because they walk away. I hate to remind you, but this stuff is on the air for a reason. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot to do this. See, I'm a professional. This stuff is on the air for a reason. This stuff is on the air because corporate America has done research studies that indicate that America wants to hear John Gibson saying that when a hip-hopper kills, he just walks away. Don't blame John Gibson. Blame the people who advertise on Fox Radio, which I think is distributed by Westwood One. John Gibson just is what John Gibson is. It's the old story about the rattlesnake. Well, lady, you know, you knew I was a rattlesnake when you picked me up. Rattlesnakes bite. No, no, no. It doesn't have nearly as much to do with John Gibson as it does with the target demographic that corporate America that advertises on his program wants to reach. And by virtue of statistics and chi-square stuff and analysis that I can't even begin to comprehend, decisions have been made in media buying agencies and media boardrooms and corporate boardrooms that they want to reach Gibson's audience. Because they want to reach the people in Gibson's audience who have the money to buy the crap that they're selling. Doesn't this make you feel just a lot better about the horn? Don't you feel a lot better knowing that at no point in time am I going to run an ad that's aimed at you because I think you're X years old, you have this much income, and therefore you are more likely to go out and buy some piece of garbage that was made in China? Don't you feel better? Don't you feel a little bit cleaner listening to the horn? Do you, as I hope you do, have the sense that we are dealing with you on a far more honest level than anything in the corporatized radio market? Do you feel better? Do you know? Do you get a sense that maybe you can trust a little bit of the feelings and a little bit of the facts coming out of the horn? Because you know that what we say is not influenced by the number of you that pick up the phone and call 1-800-BUY-GOLD-NOW. Or whether or not you're out there purchasing another vacuum cleaner that can pick up a bowling ball or a Swedish mattress or, dare I say it, an herbal erection medication. Bob's got a big smile of confidence.